Carol King. Welcome to CBS Mornings on the Go Ahead on this Thursday, May 28th. Take us with you because we want to go with you. A big change to how you get your social media. Meta says it plans to start charging for certain special features on Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp. So what will you actually get for your money? We'll ask the very smart and very online Kelly O'Grady to sort it all out for us. And we're going to talk about something a lot of people are feeling these days, burnout. Many people have it, especially mothers, but they often don't admit it even to themselves. Maybe they don't know they have it. Dr. Sue Varma has advice on how not to suffer in silence and that you can find the joy. And we love great performers around here, so we are very excited to welcome Tony nominee Joshua Henry. How his role in the Broadway musical Ragtime hits different notes in today's world. And maybe he'll sing a little something for us. All you have to do is ask. All he can do is say no, thank you, we'll see. All that and more just ahead. We're going to begin, though, with this. The closely watched Senate race, it's in Texas, that could have national implications. Republican state attorney general, that would be Ken Paxton, is facing off against Democratic state representative, that would be James Tallarico. So Paxton has spent years fighting corruption allegations, and Tallarico, who calls himself a progressive Christian, is now facing questions about some of his past statements. Ed O'Keefe spoke to Tallarico in his first network news interview since Paxton officially became his opponent.
This Lone Star State showdown promises to be expensive and ugly.
My opponent is the most extreme radical the Democrats have ever nominated.
Ken Paxton is the most corrupt politician in America.
Ken Paxton and James Tallarico are facing off in a race that may determine control of the Senate.
I got a message to Republicans in Texas and nationwide. Do not take this general election for granted.
Tallarico promises to take on the scandal-plagued Paxton with a focus on corruption.
The real fight in this country is not left versus right, it's top versus bottom. We're all getting screwed. None of us can afford anything. None of us can get ahead.
Paxton calls Tallarico radical, in part for comments during debate over transgender rights.
Do you still believe there are six biological sexes?
I know there are two sexes, men and women. I also know there's a very small percentage of people who have these chromosomal abnormalities, and I believe they deserve to be treated with dignity and respect.
And this.
God is non-binary.
What did you mean by that?
I was being intentionally provocative with that statement. But what it means is that God can't be defined by human categories. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, says that in Christ there is neither male nor female.
You call it intentionally provocative. Do you regret describing it that way or talking about God that way?
There are some statements that I've made that I certainly regret. But Ken Paxton is intentionally clipping my cringy comments to distract from his career of corruption. Ken Paxton has a criminal record. I have a legislative record.
The other one they keep harping on, and it's perhaps the most curious of all, they say you're a vegan.
I'm not a vegan. I'm an eighth generation Texan. I've been eating barbecue since before Ken Paxton's first indictment. And this campaign basically runs on Texas barbecue.
For CBS Mornings, I'm Ed O'Keefe in Austin, Texas.
Paxton has so far declined multiple CBS News requests for an interview, but I know Ed O'Keefe will keep trying. Don't mess with beef and meat in Texas.
No, don't do that at all.
They will get offended.
Litigious.
Yes.
Turning now to social media, paid subscriptions are coming to some of your favorite apps. The social media giant Meta has announced it will offer consumer subscription plans across Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp. The monthly fees will pay for extra features like profile customization, super reactions, and story insights. I don't know why I thought that was funny, but I guess that's my reaction.
You imagined all the emojis.
Yes, all the emojis that mom would be sending. Meta says it plans to roll out more subscription plans for its AI chat box. To break it all down, we're joined by CBS Saturday Morning co-host Kelly O'Grady. Kelly, good morning.
Good morning.
So, all right, yeah. What will these subscriptions cost? And what are you actually getting? I mean, to add extra emojis or reactions, do I really need to pay a couple of bucks for that?
Wait for the crazy emoji I send you in your DMs. Okay. All right. Let's start with the price. It is $3.99 a month for Instagram Plus and for Facebook Plus. And for WhatsApp Plus, it's going to be $2.99 a month.
You have to pay them separately?
Exactly. Okay. This is all going to be separate. There is no bundle yet. What you're going to depend on the app. But for the social media focused ones, it's things like extending the life of your story, which only lasts for about 24 hours. stores right now, being able to
search. But that's the point of stories.
Right. Hey, sometimes that's you got to
I know, I'm like yelling at her, like, what are you doing to us?
You can also, you'll be able to search for who's watched your story, how many times they've rewatched it. For WhatsApp, it's going to be more messaging features like custom ringtones. I think the takeaway here is Meta is saying we've got heavy users, people that want to grow their followings. Let's find a way to monetize them.
What if you just want to do what you're always doing?
Then it's free.
You don't have to pay.
Then you keep on keeping on. And by the way, this is sort of how it's existed. It's advertising. It's advertising right. supported. I think what's really interesting here is Meta is following the trend of many other companies like X, like YouTube, and saying, hey, you know, we're spending tons of money on AI. We need other revenue streams. Mm-hmm. And social media is becoming sort of tiered. It's pay to play if you're a heavy user.
How do you think most users will respond to this?
Because you know, this is the interesting part. I think that you have people who are going to be frustrated and say, I have subscription fatigue. Yeah. I have to pay for everything.
Just hearing you say bundle triggered me earlier.
Exactly.
Triggered you?
It did. No more bundles. Not another bundle. Kelly, thank you so much. There is a severe storm threat in the Northwest. Let's check in with CBS News meteorologist Rob Marciano. Hey, Rob.
Hello, Adriana. Yeah, we don't talk about the Northwest for severe storms typically. We've been talking about the Southeast. You're going to get more in the way of rain. Should be nice across the Northeast for today. But the Northwest, we got a little bit of an issue here. We got a couple areas of low pressure. This one kind of drift back towards the north and west. So folks east of the Cascades, known the bend over to Pendleton, maybe Yakima, we'll see some damaging winds later on today. Scattered hail, a slight chance of seeing a tornado risk as well. And obviously, we're watching all the storms move into Georgia. That's checking what's happening nationally.
This morning, we're looking at the controversy over data centers in communities across America. They're filled with servers and other equipment that power the internet and artificial intelligence. The Pew Research Center says that the U.S. already has 3,000 of them, and there are plans to build 1,500 more. But there have been protests in some areas because these facilities use a lot of water and power. Jolene Kent has the story.
Nationwide, there's a growing backlash to data centers, those sprawling warehouse-like buildings housing computers and servers that power AI and the internet. And now some government leaders say they're taking action.
Today I'm stepping up to establish clear guardrails for data centers in New Jersey.
In New Jersey on Wednesday, Governor Mikey Sherrill introduced a new plan that would require data centers to, quote, pay their own way, to contract directly with power generators and shell out for their own grid upgrades. In Pennsylvania, Governor Josh Shapiro announced similar new standards. Meantime, last week, New York Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez called out water quality problems in Georgia.
This is the current drinking water in Morgan County, Georgia, right after a data center was constructed. The Meta data center was constructed.
Meta says in part that an independent study found that our data center operations and construction had no impact on the resident. And some tech companies say data centers often bring jobs and revenue into communities. But the mounting pressure comes as 78% of Americans say they're somewhat or very concerned that new data centers being built will send their energy bills up. And one estimate predicts that data centers could use 12% of all electricity consumed in the U.S. by 2028.
The real question always comes down, why is it their communities that might have to take on the lion's share of the negatives or the cost with that? And those
Chris Borick of Muhlenberg College calls it a rare national issue that's brought together Democrats and Republicans.
If you go to these local meetings, you'll see individuals that might describe themselves as MAGA in the same partnership, if you will, with people that are very progressive in their politics. And that's forcing the hand of elected officials.
For CBS Mornings, I'm Jolene Kent.
It's time to look at some of the other headlines that caught our eye this morning. Kelly O'Grady is here, ready to go. Hey, Kelly.
I am ready to go, Gail. All right. Good morning to all of you. We're going to start with a former CIA official who's been arrested after the FBI allegedly discovered $40 million worth of gold bars at his home. OK, so investigators say that's not all. David Rush is accused of lying about his credentials for years. They say he made false claims about degrees and military service. He allegedly asked for the gold for work reasons, but is accused of taking it for himself. His attorney has declined to comment. Next up, now to another serious allegation. A software engineer at Google is accused of illegally making more than $1 million on Polymarket with insider information. Now, officials say he bet on which celebrities would make Google's most searched list in 2025. Because of his job, he already knew that info weeks before the public. The engineer who lives in Switzerland is now out on bond. No comment from his attorneys. Turning now to a terrible turkey at a cafe in Australia. You got to check this out. Oh my goodness. The owner says the bird is a regular visitor who likes to look for food scraps. But on this day, she says her feathered foe was, quote, ready for war.
I just love right.
What, no gravy?
Yeah, no. Very upset there was no gravy.
I love how Australians say no. No. I know.
But for her to be a regular visitor, she didn't seem happy to see her.
Well, yeah, look at what happened in that kitchen. All right, finally, I want to stick with the animal theme. A canoe team in California got quite the surprise when an unexpected passenger hopped on board in the middle of a race. Take a look.
Lion.
Unfortunately for the sea lion, all the seats were taken.
Yep.
The team clearly did not miss a beat. I mean, look at that in the front row. It was like, okay, no, I got a job to do.
She shakes it off. And we're
pretty
rolling.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. That is terrifying. Could you imagine?
Scary. I mean, just out of nowhere. Yeah, yeah. That'd be scary.
But everybody's okay. Thank you.
Did they win?
The sea lion.
I hope they won. Yeah, we'll have to follow up.
Thank you so
much. Kelly.
We've got an important development in the search for a Michigan woman in the Bahamas. You remember this story. It could shake up her husband's story that she fell overboard during a boat trip back in April. So a source tells CBS News the GPS data does not match the boat's reported movements that day. Christiane Benavidez is covering the story for us. Christiane, this is an interesting turn. Good morning to you.
Gail, good morning. This is the most significant development in the search for Lynette Hooker so far. It comes as authorities are asking for family members to provide DNA, which could help identify the 55-year-old mother in the event that a body is found.
U.S. authorities are narrowing the search for Lynette Hooker's body, focusing on a previously unexamined area of Bahamian waters identified in GPS data from an electronic device seized by investigators.
We thought we'd try to be a sailboat today.
The new forensic evidence appears to undercut Brian Hooker's account of his wife's disappearance, according to an official familiar with the investigation. Now, Coast Guard investigators are seeking Bahamian permission to send a dive team to the location.
Little dingy sunset.
Hooker previously told authorities he and his wife were on their dinghy going back to their sailboat named Soulmate on the night of April 4th, but rough waters knocked Lynette into the sea and left him drifting for more than 8 hours. In the days that followed, Hooker shared these maps with friends and searchers, marking where he says his wife went overboard and his path.
When you think back to those maps, what's your response?
Well, the maps were his story. That doesn't necessarily mean it was the truth.
Blaine and Marnie Stevenson were friends with the Hookers. In early 2024, Lynette told Marnie about marital troubles out at sea.
I'm hoping this is a step in the right direction for justice for Lynette.
I have faith that following their GPS coordinates, they're going to find something. Is it everything we're going to want? I don't know. But hopefully we can find enough to know what happened.
Hooker denies any wrongdoing. He was held for questioning in the Bahamas, but told CBS News this after he was released without charges.
You believe that Lynette's still alive?
I do. I believe I've been told that people have lasted in the Bahamas after falling overboard for days and even weeks. Of course, you think about alternatives to that, but I'm not really capable of just turning away from this.
It's not yet clear when the Coast Guard will actually return to the Bahamas. Now, CBS News has learned that evidence that was seized from the sailboat is also being analyzed at an FBI lab in Quantico, Virginia. We did reach out to Brian Hooker's Michigan attorney, who has refused to answer our calls. Vlad?
All right, Christiane, you've been on the story from the beginning. Excellent reporting, my friend. Thank you. All right, ahead in our series, USA to Z, we delve into the power of reality television. with Housewives star.
That's Dorinda.
It's the medley in the house. Stick around for that. We're back in 90 seconds with Dorinda.
For many people, the line between being busy and burnt out may be a bit blurry. Mental health experts call this high-functioning burnout. It describes someone who appears successful and capable on the outside, but on the inside feels chronically exhausted, depleted, and even disconnected from joy. Board-certified psychiatrist Dr. Sue Varma says it's something she sees in many of her patients and friends. She is also the author of Practical Optimism, a book we love. Dr. Varma, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
So this idea of high-functioning burnout, how is that different from just being stressed or overwhelmed?
Absolutely. I mean, just like you said, Adriana, high-functioning burnout looks like achievement, competence on the outside, but it comes at a huge price of a person feeling chronically depleted and exhausted. And I always say, just because someone is functioning doesn't mean they're doing well. Because you have to ask, how do you sleep at night when your head hits the pillow? Are you able to fall asleep? Do you experience joy? Do you love doing the things that you once used to?
More common than women, men, married
yes.
or not?
Yes. Much
does more, that matter?
It does. And we know that the statistics show that for women, married women with children specifically, they experience 68% burnout, moms, compared to 42% of dads.
But how do you know you have it? I still don't understand. How do I know I have this if I, on the outside I appear to be doing okay?
Yes. So a couple of things. A person will say that I feel wired but tired. Mm-hmm. So my brain is always on and rest is not restorative. So even yeah. after a full night of sleep, they come and they feel angry or irritable out of proportion. So something that I hear a lot, especially in women going through perimenopause or menopause, they will say, my husband chewing or my husband snoring makes me want to gouge his eyes out.
So what are the long-term health consequences if you live in a chronic state of burnout?
Yes. So this, you know, fight or flight was meant to get us through a very short period of time. And, you know, when you have stress hormones, cortisol, it's not a bad thing. All of us have cortisol. It rises early in the morning and it's supposed to, in theory, subside later on in the day. But if you are on all the time where you're performing success. That's the thing with high functioning burnout is you're performing a lot and you're always on. You never are able to close the loop. You have a lower immune system. So you're going to be getting chronic colds and infections, autoimmune diseases, cardiovascular disease, which more women are prone to later in life anyway. So and also depression and anxiety. And eventually this high functioning burnout isn't going to be so high functioning anymore. Right. The problem is most people will not offer you help because they'll say you look so well put together.
Right.
I can't even imagine. The inside and the outsides don't match.
But if you're a high-functioning person, right, and you're trying to just, like, push through,
yes.
you're not going to be the one to say, I think I need help.
Absolutely.
How can you try to identify these things in yourself, and then how can you help yourself?
Absolutely.
Asking for a friend.
The first thing I would say is stop glorifying exhaustion. We have a sense of this pride, of course, of being able to keep a tidy home and work and kids, but it is not possible for one person. This was meant literally for an entire village to support you. Delegate tasks that are daily tasks, because a lot of times the dads in the home are doing the things that are quarterly or maybe weekly or maybe monthly, the lawn. You are negotiating the invisible load, right? There's an invisible labor and mental load that women are always carrying. What are we eating tonight? Who, like, ask any dad, like, who is your the kid's best friend? Who's the pediatrician? What size shoes do they wear? They can't answer that. You have these ongoing lists of tasks, so offload them as soon as possible, especially the daily ones.
Dr. Sue Varma, always great advice. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate it. Our USA to Z series celebrates 250 years of American history and culture. Today is R for reality television, one of the most beloved and controversial genres to come out of the 20th century. No matter how you feel about reality TV, its impact on popular culture cannot be denied. We met with two reality TV veterans to discuss what makes the genre so watchable. This is the true story. True story. What happens when things start being real? Or is it?
I was rooting for you. We were all rooting for you.
Sashay away.
Scott, you're fired.
Reality television has become a new language through explosive moments, scandals, and internet memes.
Kim, would you stop taking pictures of yourself? Your sister's going to jail.
But what is it about watching real people that has captivated audiences for more than 30 years?
This is the truth.
true story.
True story.
To understand that, we'll need to take a step back to the 90s.
MTV's The Real World.
When a new genre pushed the limits of what television could be.
I thought it'd be fun, I thought it'd be cool, and I was broke.
What do you do?
I'm a cartoonist.
Judd Winnick starred in season 3 of MTV's The Real World, the hit social experiment widely credited for creating modern reality television.
I'm Rachel.
I'm Pam.
The show put seven strangers under one roof.
She wasn't quiet, but she seemed really sweet.
But the real world would go on to change more than just television.
I don't think even the producers knew what kind of impact it was going to have. And what we're talking about is Pedro Zamora.
Pedro Zamora was one of Winnick's housemates on The Real World.
Nice to meet you.
Good to meet you.
He was a 22-year-old openly gay man living with AIDS.
He was funny and soap opera handsome. And at the time, it was remarkable because no one knew anyone was living with AIDS.
You have to understand, AIDS is part of my life.
Zamora's death after the season finale touched the nation.
Pedro became a member of all of our families.
Showing that reality TV could shape how Americans see each other. As reality television began to evolve, it would go from The Real World to Real Housewives.
What would your life be like if you were not a reality TV star?
Do you know, I really think I probably would have cooked another husband.
Reality star Dorinda Medley represents that shift.
I've cooked all day!
Her full-time job now is simply being Dorinda Medley.
I mean, it's nice!
Medley joined The Real Housewives of New York in 2015, where she became a fan favorite.
You fool.
I'll be honest with you, from day one, I loved it. I saw the camera and I thought, oh, well.
Yes, yes, like, Dorinda. Oh,
I love the camera and the camera seems to love me.
She's leveraged that fame into spinoffs, including two stints on The Traitors and multiple business ventures.
Well, who would have thought that this person here at 61 could start a whole new blossoming career?
It is now a hallmark of the reality TV machine, turning charismatic personalities like Medley into successful brands.
How much empathy are you owed on reality TV?
Josh Laura is a content creator who analyzes pop culture.
We're seeing things like Traitors, The Mob, House of Villains, where these shows now are taking people whose job it is to be a professional reality star. There is now brand deals and social media and careers after this.
But that attention can come at a cost.
I'll tell you how I'm doing. Not well.
Is there also an aspect of it, let's face it, if there's a little bit of messy?
A lot of messy. You have to be able to not care. Just say, you know what I put out and what I'm going to give to the world will be more important than some of the bad they're going to see.
Get off.
For years, critics have questioned the ethics of exploiting questionable behavior on camera.
Not every show is Housewives or Bad Girls Club or Love Island or Love is Blind, right? There are shows like The Amazing Race or Love on the Spectrum where we are seeing these very, very pure, positive representations of humanity.
And few people understand that better than Winnick.
There are people who weren't born when we did the show who come up and talk to us about him. And this is why he did the show. He did to speak to young people just like him. So they would feel brave and empowered and they could see that they could live their lives openly. And it worked.
Pedro Zamora really did change how we thought about reality television. As for, and Judd is a gem. He's an incredible person. He's still married to his wife, Penn. And Dorinda is Dorinda.
That's about her.
She's watching with her mom, Diane. Shout out to her mom.
Hi, Dorinda, but she Diane. Always owns it, and she was never obnoxious.
Never. She's a gem.
Big fan of Dorinda.
Love you.
Top of the table is next.
We welcome you back to CBS Mornings. It's time to bring you the stories that we call Talk of the Table. Why? Because it's a table we'd be talking. I love this. I love this segment. Adriana, you're in pole position.
Okay, so my Talk of the Table is this. This is a question for everybody in the room. What's one thing we don't get enough of
Sleep.
Yes, sleep. Sleep is true.
Yes.
It turns out getting too much sleep may not be a good thing.
Oh, okay.
It's linked to accelerated aging in many organs of the body. So we all know that people don't get enough sleep. A 2024 CDC report found that nearly one-third of all Americans are not sleeping enough and they're feeling exhausted. But a new study published in the journal Nature found that there is a sweet spot for sleep between 6.4 and 7.8 hours a night. Researchers say that amount promotes a better immune system and boosts brain, heart, and other organ functions. There's also a gender difference. Men seem to do best with 7.7 hours on average. Women need a few minutes more. I was going to think less. Because we do so much.
Yes.
But actually, just over, it's true, don't you? No, it's true.
I cosign.
Yes.
As the only man here, as Gail likes to say, I cosign.
Yes. So women need about 7.8 hours per night. But too much is not great. Too little is not great.
Wow. I will feel encouraged by that.
Yes.
We definitely don't get enough sleep when you're doing
this. We feel like we
shift.
Don't get enough, but you don't want to get too much.
Used to say it was like 8 hours, but it's nice to know that at around 6 hours of sleep, you're okay.
I would take that too. I never
How
get
many
that
hours
either.
Did you get last night?
4 minutes. No. 4 hours and 22 minutes.
Okay.
No, it's not good.
That's not good.
It's not good.
The schedule is tough. But we love it.
Who's next?
But we love it. My Talk on the Table is a dance group from Uganda that just got a dream invitation. Check it out. Feel it, got everything you need it. Now bring it like you need it. Just like you need it. So, global superstar Shakira invited the dance group Ghetto Kids to perform at July's World Cup final in New Jersey. So, get this, most of the children are orphans who grew up in poverty. Check out this video of the kids reacting to the news. Wow. One dancer said, "I can't wait to show the world what we've got."
Wow, look at them
Isn't
jumping.
That's so great.
I love that.
It's really cool.
Happiness.
They range in age from 4 to 16.
Oh.
Most of them grew up in poverty. Their TikTok and Instagram is on fire. This is really cool.
Shakira,
show the world what you got.
Amazing.
I like that.
Yeah.
My Talk of the Table is a friend's vacation pictures. Now, I know you're groaning because don't you find your friend comes back from vacation, shows you the pictures, you're like, oh, God. But you sit and you look politely. Well, mine is really good. It's cuteness overload. It's so fantastic, I couldn't help but put the spotlight on Vlad Duthier. Take a look at this adorable video.
Ready? Here we go.
A lovely day.
Gosh.
No, keep rolling this tape, because I like how Celine shakes her head.
Okay.
I love that. I love that part. I love it. I love it. I love how she looks at her mom and she looks at her dad. I can't get enough of this. So that, of course, is Vlad, his gorgeous wife, Marion, and adorable daughter. That would be Celine singing Lovely Day. So you might have noticed people actually stop me on the street. Where is Vlad, Gail? I go, Vlad, can I keep seeing the pictures? I want the pictures, guys. Put the pictures back up. So Vlad was out last week.
Oh,
in Anguilla.
God.
So this is Celine when you guys first went there. That's Celine now.
Right.
Clearly not. Let
wow.
the pictures roll. This is, of course, a standard shot we all take on vacation in the pool. I love Marion and Celine on the steps wherever you are.
This
is my favorite, you and the little footsteps on the thing. I know. I looked at it, Vlad. Number one, but I always say to Vlad, what's Celine doing
because
now?
She does. Because
I was so excited when you guys became pregnant.
Yeah.
Because I know how badly you wanted a baby. And then when Celine came... She's so healthy. She's so cute. And so I'm always saying, what's she doing now? And guess what? He always has a video, doesn't
always
he?
Always has.
I do.
What is she doing now? But I love the dynamic. The three of you are such a unit. And it's so lovely.
This is
to
like
see
after we finished doing this, she said to me, "Famille singing," which is like
family.
The three of us together. We were at Belmont Cap Jaluca, which we've
Where
been
is
going
that?
To.
Where? Anguilla.
Anguilla.
Yes,
we've
yes,
been
yes.
going for the last 3 years. They remembered Celine. This is we recreated the picture
yes.
of us from 3 years ago. Eleanor Astier Petain is the general manager. We love everybody at Belmont Cap Jaluca in Anguilla.
That picture.
They remembered Celine from when she
did.
Was 6 months.
Because they're a smart hotel.
Yes, Sunny yes. and Micheline and Jean, who greets everybody. They were so kind to us. We've been going back every year ever since.
Well, I wasn't trying to promote them.
No,
I was
but
just
I'm
promoting
just
you guys.
They made Celine feel like
I get
memories,
it.
The memories that
I get
we
it.
Formed on this trip.
That's what you
And you'll want to come back, too. You'll
are back like, you cannot put a price
I
on
I want that picture of you guys but walking
bravo.
On the beach.
Yes.
In an 11x14 framed, please. It's so cute.
The Vlad show is over.
John Towers.
It's really the Celine show.
Show is over.
It's my daughter's show.
Yes, there you go.
It's Celine's world.
Our country's upcoming 250th birthday has put a new focus on what the American dream really means today. That theme is explored in the Broadway musical Ragtime. The current revival has received, count them, 11 Tony Award nominations. Wow. Let's talk about it, including its lead actor, Joshua Henry. So this thing about Joshua Henry, he's a four-time Tony nominee, and we all think soon to be Tony winner.
That's just right.
We're going to put it out in the universe. Henry stars as Cole House Walker Jr., a Harlem musician flourishing at the start of the 20th century. So his story overlaps with the lives of a Jewish immigrant and an upper-class mother, all searching for their own version of the American dream. Here's a look.
Make them hear you.
I mean, we just got to clap right here again.
All you can do is go.
That's right. That's what the audience was doing, too, last night, Gail.
We're happy to say Joshua Henry joins us now. Congratulations to you.
Thank
Joshua,
you.
I was blown away. I had the goosebumps, the hair stood up on the back of my neck. Please tell me how you feel up there and what this role means to you at this time in your life and career.
Thank you, Gail. Thanks for having me.
Yes. We've all seen it, by the way. Yes.
Thanks for coming. Y'all came yesterday, didn't you?
Yes.
At this moment, as a father, as an artist, this moment I'm having in Ragtime right now is the pinnacle of my time in New York.
Wow.
For me, the role of Cole House Walker Jr. that I get to play, he's a really complex guy who goes on a massive journey from hoping and dreaming to finding the love of his life to having something really tragic happen. And it's like how he recovers from that. Much like what we all go through, it's like how we fall down and how we recover. How do we maintain a dream and a hope throughout all that? So I feel a really big connection with Cole House. And I think his story and the other stories in Ragtime are really resonating with audiences.
Yeah, this musical takes place at the start of the 20th century, and it emphasizes race, class, immigration, inequity, but it feels very reflective of the current anxieties that people are feeling right now. How so?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the magic of this piece is that it's showing us a mirror of who we are, you know, with a Black family, a Jewish family, an upper class, a white family at the turn of the century, and how they collide. And they're asking themselves, what does it really mean to have this American dream? Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
It's also a really complicated thing.
Yeah.
And it doesn't quite pan out for everyone in the same way.
Yeah.
That's the moment we're having now. We're asking ourselves questions that we've asked before, mm-hmm. but they feel more pressing than ever. And I think Terrence McNally, the incredible book writer, and Aaron Zinflaherty, the composer and lyricist, really captured that question right now, just as they did in 1998 when it originally debuted.
It can be very painful.
You know, when I saw it with Kelly O'Grady, our colleague, both of us were sitting there just silently crying. Mm. Can you hear people crying in the audience? What does that do to you?
You know, I can, because the stage of the Vivian Beaumont on three sides is surrounded by the audience. Right. And so when you hear a gasp, for instance, like at the end of the piece, there's a really unexpected moment, let's say musically.
Yes.
And it almost like takes the rug from under you, and you hear the audience go, you know, there are many moments
it's audible.
Like that.
But I want to know about you, Joshua, and what you're thinking when you're up there singing the way you're singing.
Mm.
What is your intention when you're up there? Because I was so deeply affected and deeply moved by you, your expressions and your voice.
Thank you.
What are you doing?
For me, what am I doing?
What are you thinking?
I'm having a lot of fun, but I grew up singing in church. Uh-huh. And my first intention and experience with singing for real was singing to glorify God, or for singing for a higher purpose, serving something. So when I sing, each day before I go on that stage, it's not just about, hey, let me sound good, let me sound pretty. I've always been obsessed with shifting people, with shifting people's emotional state for a higher purpose. And so as I sing Cole House, as I sing a song like Wheels of a Dream or new music, my hope is that people feel something coming through me that is not just pretty, but that could change their life.
Can you do a little bit of Wheels of a Dream? I know it's early. Can you do that?
I sure can. The beginning of the song is when I'm looking at my child and having a dream, and I say, I see his face. I hear his heartbeat. And for me, I'm a father. I have an 8-year-old. I have 5-year-old twins, all boys. And I remember that moment of seeing them for the first time. And that's all I need to
get. Can you do the belting part?
Can I get?
we have less than 30 seconds. Can
you
do the belting part?
You know,
when you go, wheels of a dream. I mean, it was
if
amazing.
I say a wheels of a, will you say the dream part?
Yes.
Okay.
On the wheels of a
dream.
Hey, there it is. You're
and
hired.
The Tony goes to Joshua Henry.
Joshua Henry. Oh my gosh. That's amazing. So emotional. Joshua Henry, this was so wonderful to have you. You're amazing. Ragtime is playing at the Vivian Beaumont Theater at Lincoln Center. You can watch 79 Tony Awards hosted by Pink on June 7th right on CBS.
See Joshua win. We will see you tomorrow right here on CBS Mornings. Take it easy.